Yo, what's happening, everybody? This is Jerome checking in for the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. As you all could hear, I'm very up under the weather right now, but I did make a commitment to get back on the grind. And that's exactly what I'm doing because I am seeing a whole lot of foolery. And it's really, really sad that this is going on. But I want to thank you all again for tuning in to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast, quarantine edition. This is volume number 95 that we're doing. I really do appreciate everybody that's been sharing the channel. You know what I'm saying? We picking up some traction, you know what I'm saying, from other YouTube subscribers, and that's cool too. I really don't do anything on YouTube, but, you know, my channel is still there. So, back to the topic though. Are OGs toxic? You know, it's a whole lot of tomfoolery that's going on. It's a whole lot of complaining. It's a whole lot of shaming based upon a person's stance. And this shit, or these things are being refiltered through our community. You know, it's a shame that we have certain people on the West Coast. These men are well over 50. Definitely well over 45. And it's a badge of honor to them to be able to squash a beef, which is cool. Amongst superstars and amongst the neighborhoods. But they get praised for that as well. Even down south, even on the East Coast. You see what I'm saying? Midwest. It's all over. It's in every hood. But I would say this, right? Too much is given, much is respected or expected. If you're in this position because of what you've encountered or what you made it through, you know what, fam? Don't make it seem like that you are the baddest motherfucker on the planet. Just because you got street soldiers and they'll do this and this and this. Y'all hear that horn blowing outside? I told y'all, man, I would never leave the hood. I won't give a damn what's going on. If I'm 100 million strong, you know, which one day I will be, y'all gonna mark it on this channel, that I'm gonna be $100 million man, right? I'm still gonna be in the hood with my people. You know what I'm saying? I don't care how hard it gets. You know, so I was trying to search on Twitter today, Crunchy Black. Country Black is a well-known hip-hop mogul, so to speak. Well, not, I wouldn't say mogul, but hip-hop group member of the famous group 3-6 Mafia. And he's been doing interview after interview, or they just been cutting up the interviews with Beehive. You see what I'm saying? On, what is it, Hot 95.7, Hot 96, whatever Beehive channel is. You know what I'm saying? Y'all look it up on YouTube. And man, you know what? Dude has been so transparent, you know, even to the point that we talked about a demon entering a person's body. That's some really deep shit. He talked about his love for his friend, Lord Infamous, that passed away and was like, you know, so I started to relate with dude. And then, you know, he communicated just a whole lot of different things. He from the LMG, Lamont Gardens projects, you know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking like, damn, you know, the interview is finna go like left. It's finna stay negative, you know, because he was talking about Rob Steele killed. That was him and his partner's mantra. And then dude just got real all of a sudden. I was like, hey, man, you know, we've been glorifying this street shit for so long, and we've been putting down so many other black men because they hadn't been in the streets and they haven't exactly came through the experiences and been raised in poverty. So as a result of that, and I'm just paraphrasing, we shamed them and made them seem as though that they were less than us. And he was like, hey, man, you know what? Everybody can't be no gangster. Everybody is not a gangster. And I'm like, yo, bro, I've been saying this for the longest time. But I'm glad that people respect him for who he is. Because I'm going to be honest with you, man. And I don't tote guns. And even if I did, it's still going to be a hairy situation. Hey, if I run up on country black man in a dark alley, you damn near can't see him anyway. But if he get on some bullshit, man, dude is not nobody to be playing with. Period. He's not. I don't care what's going on and who you is. You know, you're going to have to respond and be able to think on your feet and this, that, and the third. So I started to go back and I'm like, okay, so why is everybody, and I call our country black's name because I'm speaking with him in a positive context. You see what I'm saying? These other people I do have respect for things that they've done in the past. But man, let this bullshit go. Can't y'all see that we're killing each other at an enormous rate? Over some bullshit. Over, you know, we have people that's able to call a shot on you, man. In Louisiana. We seen what happened to Mo 3, y'all. And he was the king of Dallas. That man was regenerating death. The power is in the tongue. So all the time that we're sitting here recreating, and I don't want you guys to think that I'm not finna get on these men out here, the other part of men, the other part of men that's in social media, that's strictly just not trying to enlighten people, but just trying to incite bullshit. Big shout out to Benzino. Big shout out to Kwame Brown. Big shout out to Angela Stanton. Even though I don't rock with everything that they say, at least they're not inciting BS. Because the last thing that the All the Smoke podcast could have done was mention Kwame Brown's in a negative light. And now he has took off because people understand how authentic he is. And not only that, Kwame Brown is providing solutions. See, people don't want to talk about, you know, while we got all these freedom fighters out here, people don't want to talk about really what's going on in Atlanta. And how the crime is out of control. Now, check this out. There was a gang, almost 80 some people indicted. So it was a large indictment, I think, in Georgia history. But guess what, though? This was a white supremacist gang. Said that it's the fastest gang growing in the United States. So when we have grown-ass men, grown black men, or quote-unquote women, because I'm going to go there too, on these areas telling children, be who you are. Do this, do that, do this, do that, do that. It gets me so mad, y'all, because I'm going to be completely authentic with y'all. I don't see any white men And correct me if I'm wrong, y'all, because I could be wearing blinders. Hispanic men, Asian men, speaking specifically to their boys, telling them that it's okay to be a girl. Oh, oh my God. I done did it now. Because guess what? If someone hears this, oh, they're going to go off. They're going to snap. They're going to say, stop the hate and all of this. When in actuality, you know what? Ain't nobody hating on y'all. Back to the country black thing. And now I'm finna tie this stuff together. So instead of me typing in country black, I typed in churchy black. Go on Twitter, y'all. And I'm thinking and I'm looking at this and I'm like, damn, what does this have to do with country black? And then I'm like, man, country black is not speaking out against lesbians and gays and bisexual people that have a sexual orientation or a specific area that claim is non-binary or something like this. All of a sudden, I begin to see that there is a voice from black people that's out saying, destroy the black conservative voice. And they're making fun of and they're mocking black people that's in the church. Now, you see, here's where we usually lose it, because you know what it is? It's a lot of people, including myself, man, that was born and raised in church and they were given the guidelines on how to live, and we rejected the guidelines. We didn't steer away, but we rejected them. We questioned them. And as a result, guess what? When we got out here in the world, because we was being so rebellious, we bumped our heads so many times till it almost altered our life. And then once we realized that, hey, look, even if it does speak against gays, you know, at least it's giving me some what? Structure. So I got to thinking and I'm like, they talking about this black gay history or gay history being taught in schools and different things like this. See, this is something that the gay agenda, this is how they misuse gay black people. Because they never talk about how accepting the black church was of gay people. Never do they talk about that. So now you have a group of young people that's being rebellious and that's trying to silence people of wisdom, y'all. Now, here's where the point comes in at. And I want you to understand this. And I'm not attacking the lesbian and gay community. It's some really cool people, right? Even though, you know what I'm saying, that lifestyle ain't for me. Hey, man, live your life, dude. Do whatever it is that you want to do. Right? But at the end of the day, when it comes down to black people, you know, I have a right to give my own opinion and talk about what's good for our people as a whole. That's what they don't understand. So when we're talking about disabling a voice, wow, what's one of the main things that the gay agenda talks about? Not being heard. Censoring their information. Not having a voice. And here we is. We have these same black people. They're not doing this in private, y'all. They're doing this for everyone to see. And no one checks these people. No one comes in and say, hey, hold on. That could be a form of hate speech. You can't censor nobody. You can't break nobody's voice.
What are you trying to do?
There's a reason for that. There is a reason that they want to continually have this black gay voice rumbling through our community. We don't hear the rumbles in nobody else's community. We hear it in ours. To the point to where now gay rights is before civil rights. I'm just calling a spade a spade. Because guess what? Who vibrated that narrative? Black people. The Black Lives Matter was supposed to be a revolt against police. But who do they support? The black gay agenda. Just calling a spade a spade. Hey, and guess what? If you thinking that I'm incorrect, check me. It's cool. I'm grown. Okay? I'm grown. I don't have to be right all the time. That's why I make sure that I do my research. That's the reason why I'm speaking so strongly against abortion. And guess who's in the front line of this, y'all? It's black people. It's black women. When we talk about different things that's going on, it's always the black woman's voice. It's like the black man damn near don't even have his voice anymore. Because as we can see, the amount of turmoil that's coming from black people regarding Kevin Samuel. See, yeah. It's all good if a man gets on Instagram and Facebook, Twitter and all these live establishments and say how no good black men are and they're quote unquote empowering women. Empowering women to do what? Because you damn sure are not empowering women as well as men to build successful, strong black families, which is the building blocks of our community. Right? But as soon as this man starts to attack a problem that we're seeing, more people, black males and black females, the marriage rates are going down. And marriage women are starting, and single black women are starting to live in poverty because they're not prepared for retirement. And neither is a man, but his body and strength will take him until he dies. Women live longer. So that means that they have to have a lot more money. Right? Talk to any retirement specialist. It's a numbers game. So when this man is talking about, hey, look, you 36 and you out here still trying to choose. You don't got no kids. You making $45,000 a year and you got student loan debt up to your ass. Get it together and start you a family. It's a voice that's attacking him. Because this is what they say. They are putting black women. He is putting black women down. He's messing with their self-esteem. This, that, and the third. They're saying a whole lot of different things. You know, when he's single, we think he's gay. See, that's another tactic they use. But newsflash, and here's where the gay community needs to come out and say something, right? Because it's all good if y'all attacking a black man, right? But they also need to come out and say, well, damn, just because the man is gay, he can't be a professional in relationships? Like, what are you talking about? See, these are common sense things that needs to be described and put in the light. And also have these people checked at the same time. And the great words of Jay-Z, man, y'all stop me when I'm not telling the truth. We have more black boys living below the poverty line. And we have these OGs out here that saying, yeah, you know, join this, join that. Rep your hood, do this, do that. But they're not showing them how to live. And then later on in life, the OGs, when they're not able to fully support themselves and these dudes gain the money and the power, they start clowning the OG. You want to know why? Because the OG never, or the older black man that was in the hood, he never pointed them in the right direction. He told them, you know what, to go out and do senseless crimes. Forget the consequence. You go out there and do it and make it through. How unfair is that? And now you got it. We've got it to where it's mothers out here that are calling their beautiful daughters bitches, as if something to be like respected. Are you kidding me? We have more people interested in taking down statues of a so-called oppressed leader that we've already overthrown. We've already won the battle. We did it. They freed us with little to no bloodshed. Can you believe it? And here we are down here arguing and bickering amongst ourselves. I heard a quote today that said, if you are trying to break generational curses, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be very uncomfortable. It's going to be very hard. It's going to be very frustrating. It's going to be very depressing. It's going to be very trying. It's going to be very tiring. See, someone like me understands the underground economy, and I understand the real economy. Right? And the black dollar in the underground economy is so strong. Or the black presence, the underground black worker. No one never talks about this. Just like there is an underground sex worker, there is an underground black worker. Now let's turn this thing on its head, that could be targeted and victimized. An underground black worker is someone who sells drugs. And it's a tier. These people have it figured out. The Colombians, the Italians, they have it figured out in regards to getting in contact with the OG. See, this is how important the OG is. Getting in contact with the OG. They go through whatever their filter system is. They get him the drugs. He filter it to the underground economic worker. They go out, they market the drugs, they sell the drugs. Right? The street money comes back up through the tier, and then it goes back to the real boss. Leaving the black workers being exploited, having more chances to get raided, killed, shot, amputation if they don't have the money. A lot of different things goes on, man. And no one never says that. That these, from anywhere from 15 to 23, they're being targeted. They can make it seem like an underground sex worker is being targeted. Let's be real. But when it come down to black men and black women being targeted, throw him in jail. Yeah. This is the reason why I feel, right, that they don't want, well, we know it before I go to that, okay? Now let me talk about how the economics of the underground black worker has a counterproduction in our whole hood as a whole. Because 95% of his clientele is black. So all of this fake drugs that's out here, right? These people are giving it to the OGs knowingly. The OGs automatically accept it. Yeah, man, it's distracts. We finna get out here and get this bread. Versus just saying, hey, man, the little homie over there overdosed, man. Him and his girl. They was just trying to get high. What's up? But see, this shows the weakness. Oh, don't you dare question that man. Whoever he is. The Colombian, the Italian, the Mexican, the white. Don't you dare question him. They don't have enough heart. Or they simply don't even care. And that's the reason why, you know what I'm saying, OGs, specific ones, are toxic. Toxic OGs. They're very charismatic, but they don't care. People like this, we need to bar from our neighborhoods. Because guess what? We're not naive. And we understand that drugs will be going on in our neighborhood. But guess what, though? There's a funnel of economic action. So if you're thinking that the black dollar only stays about 8 hours, 8 to 14, maybe 16 hours, just think about how fast the underground workers' dollar happens, how fast that goes away. It's probably about 2 hours. Because as soon as they get in the money, either they got to pay the homie or go score again. You see what I'm saying? So that money's not maintaining itself in the hood. These people aren't making investments. Or if they do save the money, when the police come through, they're getting popped and they're taking all the money. In the meantime, these people are over here trying to run from their everyday problems. They're getting put out. They're on Section 8. They're eating oodles and noodles. Because whenever they get a chance to get high, they doing it. So the only thing that we have as black people, and a lot of people won't say this. Now I'll get to my real subject here. I truly do believe the main reason why they have all of these marijuana laws, you know, is you have to have $1 million. You got to have a run a credit check. We got to have a criminal history check. When any average Joe really and truly could start a business anywhere in the United States. We want to know why? Because guess what? They don't want black people to have the control over their own industry. Ain't that something? It is bad, y'all. I've said this time and time again. Yeah. But see, now things are changing within the criminal realm. And you want to know why? Because they're understanding, like they already knew hundreds and hundreds of years, at least 100 years. We talk about crime families, right? The Gambino family, the Lucchese family, the Lucianos, all of these Italian families, all of the Irish families. There's some Mexican families, you know, and there's a few black families, right? BMF. Black Mafia family. But their reign was on. As soon as they moved to Atlanta, it was over with. That was the biggest mistake that they did. So what I'm trying to say is they let these families continue including the KKK, continue for years and years and years, and then they finally make a bust. And you want to know the reason why? Because the weapons are getting stronger. These people know how to manufacture their own drugs, and these are hard drugs. So I say to the feds, man, I'm not speaking directly to them, but I'm just going on record because this is what's happening. They are monitoring black people regarding cannabis. The rapper, the homie, I ain't gonna even say his name, but you know what I'm saying, to protect the innocent and guilty. But you know, this dude mentioned the word apes in a entertainment video, and they linked that in to him being XYZ of a gang. And then they tried to tie together that he was involved in a murder, and then they had to come out on public record and say that he was not. But guess what he was doing? Selling marijuana. Allegedly. When we know that crystal meth and synthetic drugs is being manufactured by the tons, why the hell are y'all so headstrong on chasing? You want to know why? Because it's an easy buck for them. It's something to give a people. Oh, wow. Look at this person. When this person been out 7 years, almost 8 years, and had committed no crime. He probably had a confrontation with somebody, but he didn't kill nobody. Like, seriously? Like, what's, like, this is the time, this is what our voices need to be trying to go to. Like, hold on, what? Y'all did what? You see what I'm saying? Everybody needs to talk about this. Everybody needs to talk about what's going on in the trucking industry. That it could be millions of black men that could lose their job and their businesses. Well, they can't start to get a new job because they're going in by criminal record now. This is how black people changed it. Black men changed their lives. What's up? But we have these, and I'm going to say this name. What is it? The United Black Caucus? Or the NAACP? Or the Urban League? Hey, y'all, I love y'all. But what are you guys doing? Show me progress in the last 20 years that our community has improved. I'm not trying to make this no public debate, but I know dang on well if people are able to come up, Kevin Samuels, I could ask some questions. And again, it's a toxic form of thinking. And the reason why is because these people, in actuality, think they're in a position of power over black people. But in actuality, they're not making a national or international imprint of progress for black people. I used to want to be involved with these organizations. I was paying dues. We have to move on from Carter G. Woodson, y'all. 1902? These are some of the things that need to be updated. I still roll with Booker T. Washington. But guess what, though? His message is the same. It was true back then and it's true now. Not to say that Carter G. Woodson, you know what I'm saying, Black History Month and all of this type of stuff, but hey, we got to get it together. This behavior now, by you all not doing anything, is leaving room for unnecessary voices and it's toxic. We are here, these three groups that I just mentioned, they're still encouraging boycotts. I seen a black lady today on the page and she was boycotting something. Sweetheart, what are you doing? Baby, they're not listening to you. They don't care. Because they know at the end of the day, a boycott is only going to last for so long. I said that I was going to get started on women, but I don't think that I am this episode. I said a few things, and I want to be positive about black women. I'm going to keep it all the way 1,000. Okay? The black woman is our mother nature, is our queen, is our seed, is our comforter. She is one of the most loyal beings on planet Earth. But at the same time, men, we have to step up because guess what? Who are we? We are protectors, we are providers, we're educators, and a whole lot more. And we have to be able to have constructive dialogue with our black women. Not to put each other down, but to say, hey, you know what? Are we able to come up with something? Salute the Country Black again. He made another statement that say, hey, look, all women over 35 need to be in the house now. You done had your fun. It's over with, baby. If you got children, you need to let them know that it is love in the building. And the same thing go for black men, bro. If you got children right now, man, and man, you need to be worried about your children. It's not about money bag, yo. Him talking about how in love he is with Codeine. It's about your children, my guy. And your family. You being able to build a successful family and generational wealth for many generations to come. They will say whatever they want about Kevin Samuels, but what's one of the main things that he talk about regarding black men? Accountability and discipline, as well as being a provider. He's talking about high value men and sometimes women, black women, and I hate to go off this tangent again, but can y'all please stop? Let this man talk about what a high value man is. Because guess what? The same way he talking to y'all, it's also men out there that saying, dang, if I do this and do this, guess what? I can be a high value man. I gotta be more disciplined. I gotta be a provider. I gotta be a protector. I don't have no time to be at home playing PlayStation and watching ESPN. I need to be out here chasing the bag. Especially if I want my woman at home raising our children. So when dad comes home, there won't be no chaos about bills being paid. Or if you want to get out and get a second job, you all both will be able to be together to either let someone watch them, preferably a black daycare that has a reputable name. You see what I'm saying? This man is not just attacking black women, y'all. Really and truly, if you really peel back what he's saying, this has more to do with a man than an actual woman. Because he's letting the man know, if you do this and this and this and this, you have options. But hey, y'all, at the end of the day, I really do appreciate y'all again for tuning in to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. We're on the Quarantine Lean Edition, volume number 95, man. Hopefully you all enjoyed the show. Y'all can tweet me at, what is it, Virtual Hustle? Yeah, Virtual Hustle Radio. Y'all can get at me on Instagram at Virtual Hustle. Yep. I changed everything. Thornton Media also on Facebook and also my personal Facebook page. Y'all look me up and also at Virtual Hustle 77 at gmail.com. At this point in time, I'd like to thank you again and thanks for tuning in. I'm going to holler at y'all.